Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. You've given it to us for specific learning. Pray that you'd help us to learn from it today. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you have ever read the book or short story, The Scarlet Letter? Many of you have read that? Several of you have. When I was in high school, they made me read the book, The Scarlet Letter. Some of you may as you get older in literature class. And surprisingly, I actually remember some of the details of this story. It was set in the 1600s in Boston. And the story opens up with a young woman who's being led from prison in front of the town. And she has on her clothing, she's carrying an infant, but she also has on her clothing a big scarlet letter that's been put onto her clothes. And basically what that big scarlet letter was a big bright red letter that marked her and labeled her as an adulterer. She was married to an older man. He sent her ahead to the colonies before he was able to come. And through a series of events, they believe that he died as he was coming to meet her. So husband was not there, but all of a sudden she conceived a child and gave birth to a baby. And so it was obvious that this woman had been immoral. And so the city decided that they were going to put a scarlet letter on her so that everyone knew, and it labeled her and marked her as an adulterer. As a child grew, they actually lived on the outskirts of the village, and they were shunned by the community because this woman had conceived that child in sin. And so they shunned her and put her away. And she was forever and always in that village marked by her sin. Everyone knew who she was, and they shunned her and mocked her, and her gravestone when she died was actually marked with that single letter A. Even in her death, she was marked by her adultery. And guys, sometimes we wrongly think that God treats us this way. That once we sin, once we mess up, that He kind of brands us, He marks us as a sinner that can never be used again, that God shuns us, that God pushes us aside, that we have to live on the outskirts of the Christian community. And sometimes we even wrongly brand ourselves with that scarlet letter, don't we? Hey, you know what? I messed up. I've sinned. I'm no longer usable. I'm just going to live on the outskirts. I'm not going to get involved, and I'm not going to get plugged in. And just as this woman was never restored to usefulness, sometimes we never get restored to usefulness after we fall. We think, you know what? God can't use me anymore. I'm going to be shunned and pushed aside. And guys, I am thankful that this is not how God deals with us. He does not deal with us as the village treated that woman. And there's yet another turning point in the story in the book of Jonah here in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. This book goes up and down with Jonah's emotions, but look again at verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." God was not done with Jonah. God is a God of second chances. God again was telling Jonah to go and to accomplish his purpose. He does not place Jonah on a shelf. And guys, when you mess up, when you sin, when you are stuck in rebellion as Jonah was, God does not cast you aside, and God does not mark you and say, you know what, I can never use you again. It's not that God is never going to speak to you again and never going to use you. He does not place a scarlet letter on you. And as we briefly review a few things and then move into chapter 3, I want to point some characteristics out about God. And admittedly, some of them are review. But it sets up those first three verses of chapter 3, and we see, first of all, that in His compassion, God restores fallen people. And we're going to see God restores fallen people to service. Jonah had a mission to do. He had something to accomplish. And God was not done with him, even though he was a rebel who was running from God's presence. And number one, God pursues. He does not abandon rebellious people. We really saw that in week number one. God does not leave us alone after we mess up. And in chapter 1, we see God giving Jonah a command. And he was not vague with it. He was very clear with it. He was not wishy-washy. God's word came to Noah and said, Jonah, arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me. There's no wiggle room there, right? God was very, very clear with Jonah. Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh. And Jonah knew what God told him to do. He was not confused. But then in verse number 3 of chapter 1, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. He went the opposite way that God told him to go. A couple nights ago, we came home from church. It was Wednesday night, and our kids often get candy on a Wednesday night. And Jessica gave our kids a very clear command. It was after church. She said, do not eat your candy. You're not allowed to eat it. Put it on the counter, and you can have it tomorrow. A couple minutes later, I come home to find out that Colton had, after she told him that directly, he went and got the candy, and he ate it. There was no confusion in that command that Jessica had given Colton, but he said, you know what, I want to do it anyway, and he did it. He directly disobeyed. And some of you know what God's word says about a lot of different areas, but still you don't do it. Rebellion is not an accident. Rebellion is not ignorance. Jonah knew what God wanted to do, and still he did the exact opposite thing. And guys, I'm going to ask you, we've already touched on this a little bit, is that you? You know in a specific area of your life that God has commanded something, God's will is leading you in a specific direction, and you have absolutely said no. Rebellion defies God's word. So guys, is there an area of your relationships that God has been very, very clear about? Whether that's with friends, whether that's with someone of the opposite gender, God's word has been very clear about it, but you don't do it. Is there an area of your entertainment choices that God has been very, very clear about? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes, but yet you don't do it. You know what God says about it, but yet you choose to disobey God anyway. Is there an area of your speech that God has been very clear about? And yet you still choose not to do it. You still do the exact opposite of God's will. Is there an area of your attitude? Maybe that's just in general, you've got a bad attitude about life, or maybe even more specifically, God has been very clear about how you're supposed to respond to an authority, but you don't do it. You are defying God's word in rebellion, and is there an area that you are just pushing against God? And let's not sugarcoat this, that's rebellion. And guys, I truly believe that if every single one of us as Christians, you and me, if we obey God's clear commands in our lives, the ones we absolutely know are true, there's no wiggle room, we're going to see God do some absolutely powerful things. But so often, we're in rebellion against God, and when we're running from God, when Jonah was running from God, he couldn't affect Nineveh. And guys, when we're running from God, we can't affect other people. Because we are defying God's word, we're going the opposite direction. Are you currently submitted to God's will, or are you, like Jonah, purposely running in the opposite direction that God wants you to? Maybe it's one, maybe it's two, maybe it's multiple areas. And despite Jonah's rebellion, God never abandoned him. Because oftentimes that's how we think God deals with us. God pursued Jonah with the storm. God pursued Jonah with the great fish. God pursued Jonah and spoke to the fish that the fish would spit Jonah out, as we saw last week. God was pursuing Jonah, and God lovingly chastened him so that Jonah would be back in a right relationship with him. Guys, God lovingly brings us back to himself. When you are in rebellion, God does not abandon you. God pursues you even when you purposefully ignore God's word. Is God pursuing your heart even now? Is the Holy Spirit impressing something on your heart that you are purposely disobeying God? You know what God's word says, you just don't want to do it. You're like, you know what, my way is better than God's way, and God wants to be in a right relationship with you. But also we saw in chapter 2, God hears, not ignores, repentant people. Jonah is praying in the fish's belly, and God listens. Jonah is crying out to him. And I want you to notice something. Why did God listen to Jonah? Because he cried out because of his affliction. He was getting troubled. He called out because he was in trouble. But also notice what Jonah did that I think really is a sign of true repentance. Jonah took responsibility for his sin. I highlighted in my Bible in blue all the times in Jonah's prayer that he uses a personal pronoun, I, me, mine. In the blue is all of the personal pronouns. Jonah is saying, you know what? I have sinned against you. I have run from you. And guys, he is using all kinds of personal pronouns. He did not try to blame his sin and his rebellion on other people or his circumstances or maybe even God. He was owning it. And guys, some of you need to take responsibility for your sin and your rebellion this morning. That's what Jonah did. I have sinned against you. David says in the Psalms, I've sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned. He owns it. He takes responsibility. And guys, God is pursuing you, and people and other people who care about you are pursuing you. But are you still stiff-arming God and maybe even people that he's placed in your life and saying, you know what, I'm not going to obey? They constantly are trying to get you to do what's right and bring you back to a relationship with God, and you just say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Are you trying to blame everyone else for your sin? Because you know what? You may say, this is too hard. And what Jonah was called to do was hard. He was called to go to Nineveh, a very wicked city who was known for their violence. He could die for it. And he may have had the excuse and say, you know what? This is too hard. I don't want it. Jonah didn't do that. Truly repentant people take responsibility for their sin. And that's what Jonah did. When you take responsibility, God listens. Have you guys ever been interrogated by your parents? Like, when you know you've done something, they know you've done something wrong? Yeah, I think all of us have been there. Now, have you guys ever, like, done something wrong with your brother or sister? And when they interrogate you, they, like, split you up? That ever happened to you? Like, one time when I was growing up, I was in one room, and my brother was in the other room, and they're trying to figure out what happened. And I've got a couple minutes. Don't be distracted by the warning bell. So, what was going through my mind when that was happening? We both did something wrong. And I was thinking the whole time, man, is my brother going to rat me out? I was worried, and you see this on the police shows all the time. They split up and see if the stories are different. But there, one time, I've told you this before, we were probably like 8 or 9, and we had this play set in our backyard. And we get up on top of the monkey bars, we were eating a snack, we were eating apples, and I just threw it over my neighbor's fence into the privacy fence, and I just heard bloop. And I was like, oh, sweet. What was that? So I remembered, oh, he's got a koi pond. He's got this fish pond in his backyard. And so we started to go, went inside and we're like, hey, we're gonna feed the fish. I don't know what we were thinking, but we were legitimately trying to help. So we took apples, we took oranges, we took bananas and threw banana peels, and we were throwing them over the fence and they were plopping into my neighbor's koi pond. The next day, guess who showed up at my house? My neighbor. Guess what he says about his fish? They're all dead. We killed them. You guys know how much one single koi is? They're like over $100. And we killed like 7 of his koi fish. So he shows up at our door and he says, you know what? Your son's killed all my fish. I found all this fruit in my koi pond. And so my parents split us up. They're asking us questions. And guess who confessed to actually doing it? No, not me. My brother. He confessed to it. He said, yeah, we did that. I knew we were going to be in trouble. I heard him. I was so mad. I was like, he did the exact same thing. And what I didn't understand is my brother took responsibility for what he did. He took responsibilities for his actions. And my parents showed mercy to him. And guys, so often we try to cover up our sin. We try to lie about it. But Proverbs 28:13 says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Guys, don't try to cover up your sin. Often I found myself doing this as well. When we repent, and we find ourselves explaining why what we did wasn't really wrong. You know what? I'm sorry, but the reason I did that was because of this. Because you said this to me. That's not true repentance. That's not true apologizing. That is actually hiding your sin even more. And we say things like, you know what? I will stop doing this as soon as you stop doing that. We're trying to blame shift and get rid of the responsibility. Guys, we need to hate our sin. Jonah did not make excuses for it. He took responsibilities for it. And could it be this morning that you have been assuming in your life that, hey, you know what? I'm just going through a rough patch, a patch of bad luck. A lot of bad things are happening to me. I'm going to get through this. And you're trying to think that, hey, you know what? This is just happening. Could it be that you are in open rebellion against God? Maybe it's not open to everyone else, but it's open in your heart. And God is lovingly trying to bring you back to himself. He's saying, you know what? I have given you some very specific commands, and you are disobeying me. He loves you. God always speaks through his word, but we invite trouble and chastening into our lives when we refuse to listen to it. When we plug our ears and refuse to listen, God hears truly repentant people. So God pursues, God hears, and now in chapter 3, and I promise we'll be done very soon, we see that God restores, not discards, fallen people. We see in verse number 1 that when fallen people begin listening, God resumes speaking. God had stopped speaking to Jonah in chapter 2, and then in chapter 3, he said, it opens up, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Jonah had turned his back on God, he'd turned his back on God's will and his presence, and he refused to submit to God's will. Now, Jonah was listening. Jonah was in a place in his life where God had brought him to repentance, and Jonah confessed his sin and turned back to the Lord. Have you guys ever walked up to somebody and they've got like headphones in? And you want to get their attention? Yeah, they can't hear you, their ears are plugged, and you're like, hey. They don't hear you. So you're like, hey, and you try to get their attention. You like jump around. So what do you end up, what's the next step? You have to like nudge them, right? Hopefully you don't punch them, but you like nudge them. You have to do something else to get their attention. And sometimes spiritually, when God is speaking to us, we have our ears plugged. And we're like, la, 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 la. We're not listening to God. We're refusing to go to his word. He's speaking to us. And then God has to lovingly nudge us and get our attention some other way. Is that you? Are you refusing to listen to God? Because when you actually turn back to God and say, I'm listening, God is going to speak. You may feel like God is a million miles away. Maybe it's because you have run a million miles away from God. When you turn to God and you listen to Him, He resumes speaking. Guys, Jonah had his ears plugged. He refused to listen to what God had to say. God had to get his attention some other way. Is God trying to do that to you this morning? Because still, Jonah for a while was refusing to listen. And then all of a sudden, again, there's a shift here. God speaks to Jonah. And then in verse number 2, He says, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose. Instead of fleeing the opposite direction, Jonah went unto Nineveh. When you read or listen to God's word, does it seem like God is not speaking? Because oftentimes we blame that on God, but ask yourself the question, does God speak to me as I read and think about His word? If you don't hear God speaking through His word to your heart, maybe you have some unconfessed sin, maybe you are in open rebellion, and you are not listening to God. Do you have your spiritual ears plugged this morning? Because the problem is not that God is not speaking to us. The problem is that oftentimes when we're in rebellion, we're not listening to God. But also when fallen people turn back to the Lord, He recommissions them. He gives them a job to do. And this is really the main point I want you to get this morning. He restores people to service. He does not put you on a shelf. When you fall, you know what the devil wants more than anything? He wants you to think that you are not usable to God. He wants you to think, you know what, God can never use me again. I can never serve Him again. I'm ineligible for service. The devil would love that. Satan wants us to feel trapped and feel like there is no hope for restoration. But guys, God restores fallen people. Even after a rebel falls, you are still usable. We're going to see next week that God sent Jonah, and even after Jonah was so rebellious, God powerfully used him. Don't believe the lies that the devil is telling you that God can't use you after you sin. You don't have to read very far in the Bible to discover that God forgives His servants and restores them to ministry. Moses killed a man and fled from Egypt. God put him in charge of all of Israel. There's all kinds of illustrations all throughout the Bible. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but God restored him to service. If you have messed up, you do have to turn from your sin. Run from your rebellion. God is listening, but He will also restore you. One of the wrong responses we typically have to this truth that God restores and not disregards is, hey, you know what? If God's going to forgive me, we make excuses for sin. I'm going to do whatever I want. God's going to forgive me anyway. Don't run that way. That's rebellion against God. That's not true repentance. But notice this. God said, arise, go into Nineveh. Jonah arose and went into Nineveh. He obeyed. It was simple. That's where God wanted to get him. And he didn't say, well, I messed up, so it's going to be a while before God can use me. It was immediate. And some of us think, hey, you know what? I've messed up. I've repented. I've asked for forgiveness. But it's going to be a while before God can do anything with me. You don't see that in the Bible. As soon as you repent and turn back to God, you are usable, and He immediately obeyed God. And when we're in rebellion, we are wasting time when we should be serving the Lord. Don't waste any more once you get right with God. God restores fallen people. He does not discard you. He can use you. And when God gets a hold of your heart after you've fallen, get up. Do God's will. Serve Him. Obey Him. God is going to use Jonah, and He can use you. Guys, we serve a God that in His compassion restores fallen people to service. You are not unusable. We serve the God of second chances. So guys, how are you going to use your second chance? Are you going to sit back and wait? Or are you going to actually try to do something for God who loves you and gave Himself for you? What can you do to serve Him? But also I'm going to speak to you, rebel, this morning. God is not done with you. Turn back to God and He will use you. Father, thank You that You're a forgiving, loving, patient God. Amen. Thanks, guys. You're dismissed.